Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into the Early Line Wednesday during an exciting holiday week right here on SiriusXM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. Donnie Wrightside, Joe Ranieri here over the next 2 hours to bring you the hottest topics in the land. Joe, it's the holiday week. How festive are we this morning?
Oh, I'm very festive here. We've got a slew of bowl games here today, Donnie, not to mention college basketball back today in full effect, little NBA. I mean, it is tis the season to be jolly and say goodbye to 2022 on a profitable note.
Oh, I like where you're going here, and certainly we are going to cover all those topics and much, much more, but you know what we like to do to start the show off here? The 7-7, the hottest topics out there. Nobody hotter, Joe Ranieri, than Luka Doncic last night. Let me read you the stat line. 60-21, 10-2-1, and a victory for the Dallas Mavericks. And as Luka Doncic said after the game, man, I'm tired. I need a recovery beer. Have a couple, Luka.
Unbelievable job by him. All sorts of records too, right? 60 point, 20 rebound, triple-double, the first time we've ever seen it in an NBA season, which I think is saying something. But how about this? 0 for 13,884 over the last 20 seasons. Teams down by 9 with less than 35 seconds to go. There were a lot of records broken last night.
It was impressive, and we're going to pick this up in segment number two, but my goodness, to have a player that talented, and as I like to say, you know, the old Giannis-type things where you almost expect it from the guy to do ridiculous things night in and night out, and let's also say, this was not an easy cruise, paint-by-numbers win by the Mavericks. It was an incredible comeback, as you stated there. Impressive stuff. We'll talk about that a little bit more in the show. Bowl season, as Joe Ranieri said, is underway and flowing this week, each and every day. Mm-hmm. Multiple games on yesterday. East Carolina 53, Coastal Carolina 29. Now, the coach left for the Chanticleers, but the quarterback stayed, who will eventually transfer if you're following between the lines here. Grayson McCall, 10 of 12, 67 yards, no touchdowns, and he got injured. Boy, thanks, but no thanks here for him coming back to play in this game.
Yeah, Holton Ailes as the was the story yesterday in that game for East Carolina. That kid was just racking it up. What, 6 total touchdowns there, 53-29. Those that had the over, you're celebrating here this morning for sure.
Absolutely. Talking about overs and switching them to unders, because you did get an aerial assault in that game. Points up on the scoreboard, and then we take a look at the Wisconsin Badgers 24-17 victory over the Oklahoma State Cowboys. And again, don't really know who the coaches are going to be in this one for Wisconsin. Don't know who the quarterbacks are going to be or how they're going to play because they either A, transferred out or just left the program. But this was a Wisconsin win, but also 44.5. Sign me up for that over. Not so fast. 41 total points on the board.
Well, Don, if it makes you feel any better, there should have been 44 points scored in the first half. We had a dropped pick six. We had two dropped touchdowns by each team in the end zone with wide open receivers. And, oh, yeah, we had an interception thrown in the end zone by Wisconsin, too. So not quite sure, Donnie, how any of that stayed under. There should have been a million points in this game, but instead falls just short there at 41 points.
There you go. More bowl games today. We'll certainly preview those a little bit later in the show. But a great is going to hang him up at the end of the season in the NFL. If you saw the tweet yesterday, J.J. Watt announcing his retirement while still being that top-level defensive tackle, he will be a free agent next year. So quickly on this one, if we're looking at J.J. Watt, number one, is he going to stay retired? And if he does, I do believe in 5 years, an automatic seat there and getting that gold jacket as we welcome in the radio audience. SiriusXM channel 159. You're listening and watching The Early Line with Joe Ranieri and Donnie Wrightside right here on the grid. What do you say? Hey, J.J. Watt, back next year, take it relaxation or enjoy the rest of your time off.
Kind of hard to believe that it took him this long or that he lasted this long, Donnie, to be completely honest. 12 seasons here. Yeah. I think beginning after year four, it was a surgery a year up until this point. So one of the true warriors over the last decade, Canton will be calling and probably rather quickly to your point.
Yeah, no doubt about it. By the way, college basketball still in full swing here over the break. And if we take a look at some Big East action, the Marquette Golden Eagles, 83, Seton Hall, 69, 0-3 start in the Big East here for Seton Hall and their new head coach, Shaheen Holloway.
Yeah, Holloway got some things to figure out there. Tough spot, though. They got to go to Marquette to play Shaka and the boys there. They never really were in that game. They were always trailing, it felt like, the entire second half by double digits. And Shaka has been pretty profitable a fade as a favorite as of late, but was not to be last night. They handled business. Back to the drawing board for Seton Hall.
Certainly. And how about this? Back to the drawing board at quarterback here for Wake Forest. Why is that? Sam Hartman enters the transfer portal with Notre Dame as a heavy favorite to land Sam.
Yeah, best he's going to be, right? The top quarterback in next year's class. And he's going to be going to a team that's going to have a lot more talent than certainly Wake Forest had. So it's going to be interesting how this move pays off for Notre Dame and for Hartman here.
Yeah, probably not going here, Joe. Just for the education and to go to Notre Dame, there's probably a nice fat NIL check somewhere here in the mix, but I do think it's a good fit. Anybody getting Sam Hartman certainly going to have a boost there on their offense. And how about this? Ed Reed to HBCU Bethune-Cookman as their head coach. Deion started it, and it looks like Ed Reed is going to finish it along.
And he's going to be just fine. Can't get any worse. I mean, what, they won two games over the last couple of years? So, yeah, no, he should be just fine.
That's Big Ed there. See how he does there at that HBCU. Wish him a lot of luck. But also, Tuesday night in NBA action. It just wasn't Luka going off. Come on back and find out who it was right here.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Let's recap some NBA action here on the early line for a Wednesday because it went down last night in a big way. And the focal point here, obviously, is going to be down in Dallas with the Dallas Mavericks and the New York Knicks. What we thought, Joe Ranieri, was going to be Jalen Brunson coming home. How's he going to perform? Turns out Jalen Brunson didn't even play in this game. Julius Randle, 29-18, a big-time lead for the New York Knicks. Now, we were seeing something of a historic affair here, if you're just taking a look at Luka Doncic, but how it got there might have been even more impressive, Joe. A 12-point lead entering into the fourth quarter. And how about this? With about 30 seconds to go, a 9-point lead after a couple free throws by the New York Knicks. This game ends up going into overtime, and depending on what number you got, congratulations, you pushed, or is that one you went to bed and said, I didn't sleep all night because you had the Knicks, or maybe the Knicks money line at that point. Astounding, but also, we can't gloss over. What Luka Doncic did last night with his performance was outrageously sensational, and it shows why constantly one of the best players in the NBA year in and year out, Luka Doncic.
I mean, Donnie, it's always impressive when we do this each and every day and night where we get to talk about things that have happened for the first time in the history of the game. When you're talking about performances, and we've had some pretty good players in the association over the years. I think we can agree with that. But when you get something that has happened only for the first time ever, and I don't know, quite honestly, if we're ever going to see another 60-point, 20-rebound, 10-assist, triple-double ever. But maybe even more impressive was the fact that teams trailing by at least 9 points with 35 or fewer seconds had been 0 for 13,884 games over the last 20 years. Oh, that was until, again, last night when Dallas somehow managed to make up those 9 points in those 35 seconds and then eventually go on to win. Crazy game on so many levels.
I can't look, and I always like to say this too, Joe. I just can't wait until Luka Doncic is paired up so he has his like Batman to Robin wingman over there. He's a one-man show out here. And if you take a look at the FanDuel Sportsbook, he's still third right now, sitting there in odds to win the MVP. It's like, what else do you have to do? If you have that type of performance when you're already one of the front runners, it's like, man, just throw him up there at minus 100 or plus 100 at this point, because he just deserves that for at least 24 hours. An amazing performance here for Luka. The sky is the limit. And when he goes out in the next game, Joe, and has 35, 8, and 7, oh, man, Luka, that's an off night, man. We need a little bit more out of you here. So we'll keep an eye on Luka Doncic as the season moves along. But how about the Philadelphia 76ers riding high? 8-game win streak, take on Washington. Joel Embiid drops 48 points and 10 rebounds. James Harden, 26 and 13 assists. But the Philadelphia Sixers went down to the Washington Wizards 116-111 last night.
Yeah, so this was an interesting one, especially the way it started and the way it ended, because the Sixers, they were losing by double digits when it went into the half. And then, you know, slowly but surely, they started moving back into this game, right? With a nice third quarter and then, of course, a pretty nice fourth quarter. Ultimately, it wasn't to be. They had their chances there in the second half to be able to pull away from the Wizards, but give them credit. Porzingis and Beal and company, Kuzma, these guys finally feel to be healthy enough to be able to win some of these games, and they did. But Donnie, if you were on the over like I was last night at 225, you thought for sure with 123 points in the first half, what could possibly go wrong? And you need Embiid to do a pull-up three with 8 seconds left in order to be able to hit the it's just absolutely crazy at the end of that game. But when you score 48, aren't you supposed to win the game? Isn't that how it works, Donnie, in the NBA?
Yeah, 48 and 10. Need more out of you, Joe. You got to get up to Luka range here for a chance for the Philadelphia 76ers to win, which is a heck of a way to end a winning streak there by losing a game where your superstars really came out to play and nobody else did. How about superstars coming out to play in this game in Boston? Celtics 126, Houston Rockets 102. And if I rewind the clocks here for us, Joe, to last year, there was some food for thought out there that said, hey, man, look, Tatum and Brown just can't play, you know, together at this point. How about this? One got 39 last night. One got 38 last night in an easy blowout win. Tatum, who is the favorite at the FanDuel Sportsbook to win MVP this year, certainly showed out. Mm-hmm. And so did Jaylen Brown.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were laying 15, Donnie, and that was a sweat job for a lot of guys because they just they could not seem to pull away from the Rockets. I don't think it was ever in doubt, but we learned, of course, Damon Stoudemire was going to be filling in there for Mazzulla. He wasn't available last night, and then all of a sudden, voila, you're like, wait a minute. The Rockets now are keeping this game way too close, but ultimately, Brown 39, Tatum 38. That's enough. I guess you and I can coach the Celtics with those two guys out on the floor, Donnie.
Yeah, how about this? One of my favorite headlines from last night, the Lakers upset the Orlando Magic. Yeah, you got that right. Yesterday, Kevin Walsh actually teased this game, Joe, and said, hey, the Lakers, you know, see if they can pull off. I said, what do you mean pull off the upset? Nobody's ever dogs the Orlando Magic, and it did happen last night. But the Lakers, with an easy victory, 129-110 over the Magic. LeBron James chimes in with 28 points. Russell Westbrook back to his triple-double ways, 15-13-13. A nice win for the Lakers to get them to get this 14-20 on the season. But I got to say, I was shocked that the Lakers, with LeBron James in the lineup and healthy, were dogs to the Orlando Magic.
And not just dogs on it, because that line was 4.5, 5 yesterday morning.
Unbelievable.
It closed at 3 because the a lot of guys in the market going, wait, what? Orlando's a what? Orlando was a favorite, but unfortunately that was not to be. But were you jealous there as a Sixer fan? Was Fultz? Did you see Fultz's night last night? Did you even know he was still in the league?
I to know he could even shoot at this point, Joe Ranieri, let alone put up a couple shots, man. Come on now. Ooh. Bring us back here. Number one overall pick. Let's make those dividends in here. Come on now, Celtics. You robbed us on the
process
in Philadelphia. Yeah, the process broke up right there. I mean, my goodness, yeah. Let's get to another process here of getting Kawhi Leonard actually on the court. A balanced attack here for the Clippers as Kawhi went home to Toronto with a win, 124-113. Look at the starting five in this game, Joe. 23-20, 23-10, and 15. Nice win for the Clippers. When the Clippers are whole, they're going to make a run at an NBA championship, or at least a deep playoff run out there in the West.
Yeah, and I mean, I think I had the eight guys, if I'm not mistaken, in the rotation there that had double figures for the Clippers last night. And it was a homecoming of sorts because I don't think Kawhi's actually played a game at, you know, the We Are North there in Toronto since he helped them win the championship back in 2019. So it was a homecoming of sorts, and it just didn't work out all that well for Toronto. Nice night for Pascal Siakam, too, with 35 in that one.
Yeah, how about this one, too? Phoenix Suns, 125. Memphis Grizzlies, 108, avenging a blowout loss on their home court just a few days prior. And no Devin Booker in this game. That's okay. How about Washington coming off the bench with 26 points here? Every starting five player here on the Suns was in double digits, even though Ja Morant had a big night. Didn't matter. Phoenix pulls off the win here, 125-108.
Classic pros versus Joe's game last night. The tickets and the money continued to roll in on Memphis. Mm-hmm. And yet that line, Donnie, didn't move an inch in the entire day. It opened 8. It remained 8 all day long. And yeah, I thought Memphis only could win at home. What happens now if they can't win at home and they can't win on the road? Are they still going to talk as much smack as they have been talking, I wonder?
Yeah, we'll see if that quiets them down for the time being. But how about this? The Golden State Warriors, 110-105 victory over the Charlotte Hornets. My favorite thing about the Warriors, 17-18 on the season. They're 14-2 at home. So if you put math together, they're not a very road team, but a very good road team. But they're going to be home for the holidays for quite some time and picking up another victory here. Nice night for Thompson, 29 points here, which included 5 made 3-point shots.
Yeah. Definitely a team you want to back at home, fade a little bit on the road, but don't forget Wiggins on his way back this week for Golden State. So some good news.
There you go. Some other good news around the NBA for injuries. Looks like Maxey will be back for the Sixers as early as this Friday. So as we like to say, if we're looking at Christmas Day, that's when the NBA season starts. Let's get after it all the way to the NBA Finals, but there's a lot of questions we need to answer in the NFL. Stick it right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We're heading into week 17 of the NFL season. Time is running out for some of these teams to make the playoffs, make a run, or decide what their future plans will be. And one of the bigger ideas here is out in Denver, who the head coach is going to be, but also the CEO and the GM getting in front of the press yesterday and saying, yes, we do believe Russell Wilson is fixable. If you look at his contract, he can't go anywhere. So what else are the CEO and GM are supposed to say here for the Denver Broncos? Yeah, you know what? Looks washed out here, wasted a couple $100 million. We're going to have to eat that contract over the next 2 to 3 years. Thank you, fans. Please come out and support us so we can help pay off Russell Wilson's contract. But having said that, what are your thoughts here, Joe, on Russell Wilson's future in Denver? Because for me, he can't get cut. Nobody's getting an $85 million cap hit in one season. I don't even know how you would field a football team at that point. But from your standpoint here, is it just the shoulder injury, the hamstring injury, let it heal up, get him a real head coach in the NFL, and everything is going to be okay? Because from my vantage point, this isn't the same Russell Wilson that I was watching even 2 years ago, Joe.
So, you know, by firing Hackett, what they're doing here is setting up the possibility, or at least giving off the vibe that, yeah, this was just a bad hire on our part. This was, we didn't, Russell Wilson and Hackett just couldn't get on the same page, and but we're going to get somebody in here. The reality is, by firing Hackett the way they did at the time they did, then you basically bought Russell Wilson one more year to figure things out. And it bought them one more year because now you can blame Hackett, that's fine. But whoever it is that you bring in next, Yeah, if it don't work again next year here, Donnie, there is nobody to look at other than you can't fire anybody else. It's going to be Russell Wilson that you have to figure off, figure out. How are you going to get rid of him? Can you find a trade partner? You know, the interesting part is Denver wasn't the only one offering up, you know, a million first-round picks for Russell Wilson, guys. There were a lot of suitors for him. And sadly enough, if they actually under the table made it known that, hey, Russell's, you want to cut a deal, let's be realistic, Donnie, there would still be four or five teams that would be willing to work something out with Denver to get him there. So I would say at the very least one more year to, and get the new coach in there, and then they'll take it from that point.
Yeah, I don't want to believe like Russell Wilson really just hit that ceiling that quickly here. Now, mm-hmm. he's 34 years old, but in NFL terms, a lot of these guys playing into their late 30s are playing at a high level. And it's also like Russell Wilson didn't, you know, reestablish himself. He's always been a really good quarterback with that Hall of Fame trajectory here. But I always look back at the Denver Broncos, what I thought, Joe, when they actually got Russell Wilson. Like, the sky was the limit. Like, they just needed a quarterback to guide them, play decent football, and they were going to make a run. And many people felt like, hey, man, this is the year that you could take down the Kansas City Chiefs. You got the defense. You got the quarterback. You should be able to go toe-to-toe in just an abject disaster and failure out there. We'll see what's on the horizon for the Denver Broncos. But more than likely, Russell Wilson is going to be out. You gave him a couple $100 million, a lot of it guaranteed, and also gave up, as Joe said, a ton of draft capital. We'll see if it works out there. Let's keep it moving because we're going to stick with the quarterbacks. What do the Dolphins do with Tua Tagovailoa? You're down in South Florida there, Joe. It's such an oddity here where you saw him play on Sunday and even me tweeting out saying, you know, it looks like Tua is legitimately point shaving in the second half is the only excuse I can come up with. Each and every possession got worse and worse in the second half with three of the worst interceptions you will see where it looked like Tua Tagovailoa was just playing catch with the Green Bay Packers secondary and linebacker core. Here we go on a Monday, Tuesday. Oh, no. In the concussion protocol goes Tua Tagovailoa. They don't even know if he sustained the concussion during the game or he just has symptoms. What does the future look like now for Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins, Joe?
Yeah, you would think of all the guys in the league that Tua might have been the one guy they were a little precautionary on just in case, right? Because I don't recall him. I mean, everyone's looking at this clip in the game on how he hit his head after he tackled. Yeah. But, like, nobody ever stopped to bring him into blue tent. Like, nobody, nothing. Like, you just, it's so after the game we learned that he had a concussion. So are we covering the fact that those three interceptions were not something we haven't seen in his career already, by the way, Donnie? While, yes, it was a little bit out of character for this year, it's their fourth loss in a row, Donnie. You know, this is an expectations versus reality here. You thought because you got Tyreek Hill and that somehow or another Tua with Daniels, all of a sudden everything is going to be puppy dogs and rainbows. They haven't won in a month, Donnie. They haven't won in a month. Concussion aside here, what else are you going to blame? Sometimes you got to just... you got to look in the mirror here, and I think a lot of Dolphin fans are at that point. You can't keep making excuses for them. You either take this team and lead them to the playoffs and look for a Super Bowl appearance, or you move on from them, Donnie. They're running out of time here in Miami with Tua, and quite honestly, now they're running out of patience.
Yeah, and you have to sort of, the timeline here is not like, okay, good, Tua's only in his second year in the league. We got him under contract for a few more years. Time is running out on that rookie contract. We have to make decisions on whether or not to pay him $20-plus million a year. And the tough part is you never can predict the next concussion. But the one thing, look, I'm not a doctor, but over the years, a guy that continues to get concussions or has a lot of them, there's a really good chance he's going to continue to get those into the future. And also, even over the next 2 weeks, just to get into the playoffs, what happens if you play him and he does get a concussion? What does that say for his career? Or if you just sit him out the next two games, he doesn't actually play, you miss the playoffs, okay, Tua's going to come back next year, and week two, Joe Ranieri, he starts the concussions and the concussion symptoms again, where you're going to throw another year away with such a talented now Miami team. So a lot to look forward to, I guess, if you're the Dolphins, if Tua can stay healthy, but if not, that's certainly a cloudy future here. How about the future being tomorrow night, Thursday night football? A game that doesn't mean all that much here for the Tennessee Titans. It means a little bit more for the Cowboys if the Eagles continue to slip up and don't stay healthy and maybe can't beat the Saints. But to play Henry or not to play Henry and save him for a showdown for the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's very interesting that a team under 500 has a quote-unquote bye week before an important game to make the playoffs. But here we are. If you are the Titans, Joe, do you play Derrick Henry tomorrow night?
Derrick Henry, they have bigger problems with Derrick Henry right now, Donnie. Under the radar, what people haven't realized is he's got a fumbling problem, guys. He has now fumbled five times in the last five games. They've lost every one of them. He's got four fumbles in just the last three. And again, all resulting at the worst time in the games, putting the Titans behind the eight ball there and not giving them an opportunity to come back and win games. So Derrick Henry better figure out this fumbling thing because it's getting worse each week. And when he fumbles in the games is getting worse for them each week. So I know they rely a lot on him, and it's not like he's still what? Rushed for 23 and 126 in Saturday's loss, right? But the reality is, dude, you got to hold on to the football. Otherwise, Tennessee has zero chance. And if you don't play him and you wait until the following, what can I tell you here? The optics on that for Vrabel, and Vrabel doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that's would save anybody. If you can play, you're going to go.
Yes.
But they better figure out the fumbling thing, and they better do it rather quickly.
Yeah, we got a football game. We got a football game to win. What are you talking about resting players here? We're here to win each and every game.
And they're on a five-game losing streak.
Exactly, which was one of my points yesterday talking about saying like, okay, so you're going to bench everybody, get routed by the Cowboys, and then your momentum is we haven't won in 2 months. Let's go out here and win the biggest game of the season. Doesn't make all that much sense here. So we'll see how it does play out on Thursday Night Football. How about this one, though? Josh McDaniels out here in Las Vegas. He's not dismissing the possibility of actually benching quarterback Derek Carr. The thing with Derek Carr is when it's going right for the Raiders and going right for Derek Carr, it's beautiful. Throws a great pass, looks full command of the offense, and then you get games like you saw against the Pittsburgh Steelers going like, what is the deal? He can't be our franchise guy. What do you do with Derek Carr? And would you be surprised if he goes to the bench?
Leads the NFL, 14 interceptions this year, 28 over the last 2 years. Boy, oh boy, all of his numbers this year, 60% completion rate, lowest since his rookie year, 86, passer rating. That's also his lowest since 2014. 9 years, right? 9 seasons with the Raiders here. And you know how many playoff wins he has? Squat. That's zero for those of you who don't speak French, which basically means, Donnie, that what's the difference? He hasn't done it. It's not like you can look back and say, well, you know, he's had some success. No, he hasn't. You haven't won a playoff game. It's time to move on. I don't think they do it this week, but it could very well be his last home game in a Raider uniform here against the 49ers this week.
Yeah, talking about last games for quarterbacks with their certain teams. How about Zach Wilson in New York up here with the Jets? I mean, my goodness, can you have any more of a tumultuous second year for him? Getting injured in the preseason, getting your job back, not playing great, but the team winning. The team doesn't like you. They banish you down to play scout team. They bring you back as a starter. Then they banish you back to being the scout team. What is the future for Zach Wilson and the Jets? Because right now, I can't imagine they head into the offseason as they're trying to play. Like, don't worry about this season. He'll still be vying for the starting job next year in 2023. It looks like the cord's about to be cut here in New York.
No, it has to be, Donnie, because he's lost the locker room. And in the history of the NFL, Donnie, we have never seen a quarterback lose the locker room and gain it back ever. And it's not going to happen. So if you're Saleh and Joe Douglas, you realize this team is more excited. Those guys in that locker room are more excited to play for Mike White than they ever were for Zach Wilson. You got to cut the cord, man. You cannot have the locker room be completely thrown under the bus because you're picking him because you invested a first-round pick in him. He's got to go, and they know it.
Yeah, I mean, it might be time. Time is up. A number two overall quarterback, which if it did work out, the Jets would be flying high. Certainly not flying high right now. Let's talk some...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it here for hour number one of the early line as we go bowling in NCAA football bowl season. Now, this week is great because this is the true bowl week. Multiple games on each and every day, culminating by the end of the week and New Year's Eve where the college football playoff will begin. We have plenty of time to talk about in hour number two. We actually have a segment set aside to give you an update on where things stand in the college football playoff. But yesterday, there were four games. Were they entertaining games? Well, depending on which side of the ticket that you had, if it cashed or lost, probably swayed your opinion. You might have looked at that Buffalo game 23-21, Joe Neer, and said, that was the best game I ever watched. Let me go to the window and get my money. But obviously, if you have a losing ticket, to the eye of the beholder. Now, the one thing we're seeing right now is a lot of sloppy football, not a lot of marquee matchups. But keep in mind, as we get later into bowl season, we go from the group of fives over to the power fives in what we hope will be a better brand of football. But just talking about bowl season right now, underwhelming for you, Joe and Erie? Excited, or this is about what I expected here?
We've done this. It's been a little more challenging, Donnie, as far as it goes because of the transfer portal guy. You know, it used to be just trying to figure out, hey, who's going to the draft, who's not, right? And then we'd know that pretty quickly, and then we'd be able to handicap our way through these games. But, you know, Grace McCall yesterday was the perfect example for Coastal Carolina. He's telling everyone I'm leaving, but I'm going to play in the bowl game. What? What do you mean you're leaving but playing in the bowl game? You have coaches leaving, which isn't unusual, but, you know, last night you had Luke Fickell, the new coach, on the sideline coaching in the game in a bowl game with Jim Leonard, the interim coach, as the head guy. So it's been very strange. It's been a little bit more difficult, which is led me to hold off betting certain bowl games to have better clarity as to who's in, who's out, and what's going on there. But for the most part, the sloppiness you mentioned and the maybe the little bit slow starting, not as high scoring, that Buffalo-Georgia Southern game didn't sniff the over there. To be expected here in some of these spots, because just when you think you can bury a team like Buffalo, there's no way they're going to be able to score enough to hang with Georgia Southern. Well, they scored enough to actually beat Georgia Southern. So not shocking so far, but the process to come up with an edge and a viable pick, Donnie, is a little more tenuous here this year.
No, yeah, because I always remember, like, the handicap and prowess as it moves forward during the years. It used to be when the bowls were actually released was the best time to bet them. Okay, look, I know who's probably going to be the coach, who's going to be playing in the game. This line's going to move. And 3 weeks later, like, hey, man, I got a minus seven. That line is now minus 13 and a half. I was on the right side of this one. Let's see what happens. You can't bet any of these early because it used to be just the power five teams. You were worried about a first-round draft pick leaving. Yep. Now you're taking a look at the group of fives with 15 transfers, including their quarterback and their head coaches leaving. It makes it maddening to watch here. But as you said, there are ways to get around that. How about a second quarter wager where you can get in live at the FanDuel Sportsbook and make an educated decision going, hey, look at this. This quarterback is actually pretty good now that I get to watch him play. Let's take a look at the four games on tap for today. The Military Bowl. How about this one? UCF and Duke setting the table at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Duke, a minus 3.5-point favorite here. A total listed at 62.5. And a bowl game that's going to be played in roughly 44-degree temperatures in Maryland. Both of these teams can get after it on offense, particularly UCF, Joe. 480 yards per game, but also on the opposite end of the spectrum, giving up 383 yards a game. Plumlee and Leonard will be the shot callers today in this one. How do we see this one playing out? The Knights and the Blue Devils.
Yeah, so this is an interesting matchup here. First of all, Coach Elko, Mike Elko, did a phenomenal job at Duke this year, right? I mean, expectations were next to nothing here, and yet he turns out and he goes 8-4 straight up, 8-3 against the number, against FCS teams, FBS teams rather. So Great job there. And then you have Gus Malzahn and UCF that played for a conference title. Unfortunately, Plumlee, their quarterback, who was their leading rusher, leading thrower, leading everything, he got hurt there in those last couple of games against South Florida and then, of course, against Tulane, the hamstring issue. There were some questions as to whether or not he'd even go in this game. I'm going to guess the hamstring is okay because without him, I get why they're a 3.5-point dog in this one. But to me, there's no doubt that the better team here is UCF and they're catching points. So I think the fact that he's lost, I think, his top three receivers there, this being UCF, don't discount the fact that you've got two guys on that Duke defense that opted out for the NFL draft. That's going to hurt that Duke defense. I think if Plumlee goes, all the value here is going to be on Gus Malzahn and UCF because they went as Plumlee went. And I think if he is healthy enough to go and that hamstring is healed up, yeah, I think they're going to run all over this Duke team. So I'll take as many points as you want to give me with UCF.
Yeah, we are expecting some points this game. And also keep in mind at the FanDuel Sportsbook, you brought up a good point there on Plumlee. He does have an anytime touchdown scorer market listed at plus 100, but no passing props and no rushing props. When he is right, he legitimately can gain 100 yards on the ground from the quarterback position. So something to keep an eye on there. Other parts of this game here, passing props here. Riley Leonard, the quarterback for the Duke Blue Devils. How about this one? Over 254 is his listed price here on passing yards. His last three games, 262, 290, and 390. Also, if you're looking at the market here for over touchdown passes, he's listed at 1.5, Joe, over the past three games, 9 combined total touchdowns here in the air. So something to keep an eye on here as you're moving forward, because the great part about betting these games is it's not only side and total. You can get down on some NFL-style props here and have some fun with those. Kansas and Arkansas, how about this one? 6-6, both of these teams coming in here to the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. This line here at the FanDuel Sportsbook, if we are setting it up, -2.5 is a favorite here for Arkansas. A little juicy at -122. And an over, Joe, 68.5, which, by the way, isn't even the highest of the day. It's not even the second highest of the day. We might be looking at points here.
I think we're going to be looking at points. But I also, this is one of my favorite plays of the bowl season here. You have 2-6-6 teams, guys. One of these teams hasn't made a bowl game since 1830. The other one has no idea where it went wrong this year and trying to figure out why it is they're playing Kansas in a bowl game. So you can figure out which one is which there. Not to mention that Arkansas is going to be out, their first team all-SEC center on the offensive line, out in this game. Their top two leading receivers also out in this game. But maybe more importantly, the biggest problem with Arkansas this year was their defense. It was a sieve and couldn't stop anybody. And, oh, yeah, their all-SEC linebacker, Drew Sanders, out. Their all-American linebacker, Bumper Poole, has already opted to get surgery here. So all the best parts of what was already a suspect defense are out in this game. And we already know, we've seen Kansas on less than stellar, or let's just say mediocre defenses. Oklahoma State, Houston. We have seen this Kansas team, Texas Tech, put up a ton of points offensively against mediocre to less than mediocre defenses. That is what you have here. And I've got motivation with Kansas. That's what it's all about in bowl season to me. One team wants to be here and one team doesn't. And I think that team, Kansas, is a pretty good money line dog bet here today, Donnie.
Imagine getting through the season there, knowing after the season you're going to need surgery. Your team makes a bowl game. You're like, you know what? I'd rather get the surgery than play in that bowl game. Some player
what
props look at KJ Jefferson. That's fantastic. I mean, you put that's an NIL waiting to happen regardless, right? Isn't it? You know, local auto collision spot. Like, hey, Bumper Pool here. Call from auto whatever in the auto world. Yeah, it could certainly work out there.
Love it.
KJ Jefferson's total here, or passing prop, 206.5, Joe, over the last five games. Mm-hmm. If you took an average, it's 253, so maybe a little bit of that there. But we are talking about points, as I said. It might have shocked you at 68.5. Let's get to the next one. North Carolina and Oregon. Mm. Oregon favored by 13.5 points in this game. The total, 74.5. If we set the table, this game is going to be played at, how about this, Petco Park in San Diego. Mm-hmm. 60 degrees at kickoff. You got some quarterbacks that can get after it here, but obviously a heavy favorite with Oregon and Bo Nix.
Yeah. I can tell you right now, just whatever the Oregon team total is, just go up and over. This is a 50 spot waiting to happen. They have been absolutely phenomenal. And for the most part, they have just about everyone playing in this game. I love North Carolina. I love the offense, although I believe Downs has opted out for the NFL draft. That was the leading receiver there for May at North Carolina. But we've seen this North Carolina team be able to put up some points here. The ironic part is here, Donnie, it's a 14-point. It's a two-touchdown favorite here at Oregon. I don't know that we're going to need an awful lot from North Carolina to be able to go up and over this game, because I think Oregon is got this game's got route written all over it, and I think Oregon will have a field day here. So any props associated with that Oregon offense, team totals, first half totals, those types of things, go up and over, because there is nothing about this North Carolina defense that's going to stop what Oregon's about to bring to the table in this one.
Yeah, Oregon early here. Quarterback Bo Nix was listed at a prop of 279.5 for passing yards. In his last five games, if you average him out, 316 yards. And also, Joe, when you talked about some of those good vibes, Bo Nix is coming back. He's not opting out. He's not going pro.
Yes, he's
coming back to Oregon. So this, in effect, is another game for the Oregon Ducks where they care, and maybe North Carolina's like, we'll go out to San Diego for a couple quarters and come home and try to rebuild this program here. Last game of the night, Texas Tech and Ole Miss. As we continue to climb the ladder, 71.5 is a total in this game. Ole Miss favored at a -3.5. This game's going to be played down at NRG Stadium in Houston, Texas, which obviously is a dome year. Any edges between Texas Tech and Ole Miss? Ole Miss seemed like they crashed and burned late in the season.
Yeah, no, they have. And I believe Shaw is under center there for Texas Tech. They had a revolving quarterback situation going on this year, mostly because of injuries. Which was not great, but it's kind of obvious. Here we are with two Power Five conferences, two Power Five teams, right, Donnie? And there really aren't any significant opt-outs or guys transferring on either team. Most of the guys that have transferred on both sides of the balls weren't playing anyway. So them transferring not going to have an awful lot of effect here on this game. I think this is also going to be a fun one. I think the offenses are going to be the best units on the field, and I would lean Ole Miss here in this one, but I do think the over is the only way I could look in this one, not expecting a whole lot of defensive stands in this matchup. Should be a fun one to watch for sure.
Yeah, we might not have the best matchups all the way through in these four games, but we're not having any of those 43.5 totals here that you have to watch and be like, can we just get to the next game? So a lot of high-scoring marks are expected to be on the card. And by the way, I always like to get this point of reference for you here. Anytime touchdown market, typically most people bet the NFL and that, like, hey, you know, Derrick Henry, it's a heavy favorite at -150 to score a touchdown. Or you take a look at, you know, Zeke Elliott or Pollard. Ooh, -130. That's a little juicy here for my liking. How about Quinshon Judkins here? -1150. Not a misprint, people. -1150 to get into the end zone, Joe. Solid investment if you want to play it. What do you think?
No, it's about as close as to he's getting in the end zone as you're going to see here, Donnie. And he will be getting into the end. There's going to be a lot of guys getting into the end zone in this game. Going to be fun.
Hi. All the way through, high-scoring affair. But how about this? Talk about a high-scoring affair. How about a high-contract affair? The curious case of Carlos Correa. Quick segment before we hit hour number two. Come on back with us right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, quick segment here before we hit the top of the hour. And hour number two right here on the Early Line. It's Joe Ranieri and Donnie Wrightside here, SiriusXM Channel 159 on Sports Grid Network. Getting lost during football season sometimes is the hot stove in Major League Baseball. But this just isn't any contract that we're talking about. It's all-star Carlos Correa, who signed a massive deal with the San Francisco Giants, or what thought was going to be a massive deal. But then all of a sudden, some questions came up on the physical and what was actually taking place with the lower leg of Carlos Correa. Correa. San Francisco Giants back out of that deal, and the Mets come right in the middle of the night, no problem. We'll give them a similar deal at this point, 12 years, $315 million. A week has gone by. We haven't had any pen to paper on this contract, and it looks like Carlos Correa says, I'm not willing to renegotiate, and the Mets are balking right now. This is a massive, massive deal here, Joe. What gives with Carlos Correa and his physical here?
Well, this wasn't a situation where, like a lot of people thought, like, oh, maybe the Giants just had buyer's remorse and they were looking for a reason to get out of the deal, Donnie. This is now another organization who, and you want a 12-year commitment on a kid that's 28 years old, Donnie. And apparently this right leg issue, and that's what it is, right lower leg, he had it surgically repaired in 2014 as a 19-year-old in the minor leagues. Okay, you had mentioned it before. Up until this point, nobody had, you know, nobody's been committed to him for 12 years and $315 million. There has to be an expectation that at year 7, year 8, year 9, that you're going to be able to get your money's worth. Whatever the issue is, the Giants and now the Mets don't feel he's got 12 years in him. At that price, Donnie. So whatever this issue is, it should be concerning not just to these two clubs, but to anybody else that might be interested. It's not going away. I'm going to be interested to see if Boris actually renegotiates with the team he wants to be with, which is the Mets.
It's impressive here because it says like three or four other teams now interested in the market, which is wild. Ah, who cares about the medicals? Oh, no, we can't sign them. Look at these medicals here. Wild stuff there in Major League Baseball. Let's preview. Yep.
L-E-T-E-N-P-C. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.